And just a shorter message this morning, just to kind of put the groundwork for where God is speaking into the life of New Crossing Church. And there's an outline in your program, your bulletin, if you want to grab that to see what's going on there. But let's pray as we enter into God's Word. And those of you visiting, thank you for being patient with us, and also I hope that you get a little snapshot of who this beautiful church is. It's a beautiful family, and if you've come, you know, to be solemn and contemplative and enter God's Word and pray, I'm sorry that we have totally blown that expectation, but it honors God. Even the dancing of the women, the celebration, the Jubilee dancers, even Miriam and Moses' sister, and her heart was so filled with joy that she led women in dancing and bringing the Ark of the Covenant into the city, God's presence. And so God is pleased even with the dancing of the children and the women and the singing of these songs and remembering what he's done in this church. Like Jill said, we have an awesome God. And so I just kind of want to cast a little bit where we're headed in the way of vision for this year. So let's pray. So Father in heaven, we come before you thanking you, praising you for the incredible things you're doing in the life of this church. And we pray, Lord, that you speak into our hearts from your word and help us know the things that you're wanting to say, Jesus, from Mark 4 to us. And we are excited. And Lord, there's different growing seasons in the life of a church, in the life of a Christian. And sometimes there's all this activity and work, and sometimes there's a patient waiting for things to grow and fruit. And so we pray you help us see who you are in this church, in Jesus' name. Amen. And so I'm not a detail guy, Jill, just where, how long until, we're good? Okay, cool. Okay, so hopefully you have Mark 4 opened up. And as I was praying, you know, just this, before this service this day, this week, just asking God kind of what are some of the next things. You know, my heart first goes to this, working with the Father in his garden. And I say working with the Father because God is working. Your Father in heaven is working, and he invites you and me into that work. But it's his work, but we partner with him. So we're working with him in his garden to create beauty, which is what you've been seeing this morning, is some of the beauty that God's been creating in the life of this church, and to produce fruit. And so I want to start this message where the last message a year ago left off, with John 15, 1 and verse 5. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener, and I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, you might think, do nothing. I can do stuff. Any person can do stuff. But the things of eternal value, the things that last all the way into heaven, are the things that we do with our Lord Jesus Christ, right? And so in Mark 4, and there's four things that came into my heart from Mark 4, and the first one is Jesus' promises. And I'll walk us through it this morning, and then comes our participation, and then our patience, and our prayers. And so that's where God's leading us this year as we continue in the direction he's pointed us. And so in Mark chapter 4, verse 1 through 9, let me read. There's three parables I want to read for you to draw these three truths that God's speaking to New Crossing Church. Verse 1, again, Jesus began to teach beside the sea, and a very large crowd gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. And so you have, just love that picture. You know, Jesus is drawing a crowd, and he's going to speak into the life of these people. And he's going to speak the key parable. This is the parable that a believer must begin to understand before they can understand any others. And he says, in verse 2, and it says, as Jesus was teaching them many things in parables, and in his teaching, he said to them, listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on the rocky ground, where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seed fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Jesus, as I was reflecting on this, the things he has started to do in this church in New Crossing, he is wanting to continue to do and grow more. And this is a key parable because it set the groundwork, you know, we're talking about gardening. Yeah, thanks. He's setting the groundwork for all the other parables to be understood, because this parable communicates to us that there's something God himself is trying to sow in our lives, and it comes in relationship. And we all find the soil of our hearts changing and needing our attention. The soil is our hearts, if you were to find, say, what is that thing that's the soil? And the heart is the place in which it goes, not just hearing and understanding with the mind, but it enters your heart, enters your soul, and that's when things begin to grow. And as you heard these different soils, there's four different types of dirt and soil, and it's not trying to figure out which one am I, it's which one am I right now? Because even for Christians, we go through seasons where our heart changes and soil needs to be managed. Matter of fact, the very first picture, and I'm going to go through these quickly, is a hard dirt path. There is no soil in a hard dirt path. Dirt is dead. There's nothing living in it. The definition of soil is something, it's a complex and variable mixture of minerals, air, water, organic materials, and countless living organisms. Soil is alive, like your heart is an organism that is alive and beating, right? That's the place that we want to receive Christ and his word and have it transform us. Hard heart is one that won't receive Jesus. A hard heart is one that makes room for the birds to steal the seed. And Jesus translates this later and says, that's Satan. And so a hard heart of a person is one that won't receive Christ, but makes room for Satan and his lies and his deceptions and the worldviews that aren't of God and the philosophies that say, I can't accept God. That's the hard soil. There's no relationship with a person that has that kind of heart. But then there's a second one. There's the rocky soil. This is the where there is some soil, but the problem is there's not enough soil. And there's a question there. You know, it's what he talks about, it has no root. What's the root? This is a person that does not have any idea. What's the root? The plant grows, but there's no root. That's Jesus himself. Jesus is the root of Jesse. This is a person who gets excited. They love hearing God's word as long as it seems to make their life better and easier, right? But what happens? Well, when they get challenged by God's word, it's like, oh, wait, now this one I'm not liking so much. Or life gets difficult and the real trust in God is required. They don't have the relationship, the root with Christ to handle those trying, difficult times. They can't find the strength to persevere in the walk God has for them, in the truth he has for them. They can't persevere because they don't have the strength of Christ living in them, as Paul says. So here the point is that there is a relationship, but it's shallow. It's more religious without Christ. Tracking with me? So those are the first two soils or hearts, if you want to call them. The third one is weedy soil. This is where there's competition for soil. And this is the person who wants it all on their terms. They want God and Jesus and church and success and comfort and popularity and maybe power, who knows, you know. So they just want it all on their terms. Now, come on. Haven't we all been? I've been all of these so far that I've been talking about. How about you? Have you not been all these at some point? And so this weedy soil is also a person not just who wants it all, but they have wrong priorities. And so they're convinced that these other things in their lives that they're doing have equal value and deserve equal attention and commitment and time to. And so this is a person who their relationship with Jesus is crowded, and there really isn't enough soil there because there's the weeds competing for Christ. And they also don't have the fruit God's wanting to grow in their lives. But now we come to the good one, the good rich soil. And this is what we know about this heart. There is no room for Satan and rejects the false worldviews and philosophies that keeps God out of their lives. A good rich heart is one that trusts in Jesus deep enough that when the tough times come, they can hang in there with God and will not let anything prevent them from following in God's way. This heart doesn't seek after secondary things, but makes Jesus a priority in their life at all cost. And they've taken the rocks out of their lives. There's whether it's things or people, because you know the rocks and the soil and the weeds, they remove these things that keep that heart from being deep and rich for God to live through. So which of the soils are you at now would be a good question to start with. But you know what's cool about this parable is this parable comes with a promise. Not all the parables come with a promise. And this is a promise that comes from Jesus. So let's look at Mark 4:20 again, and as he explains what this good rich soil produces. He says, verse 20, "But those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. Did you catch that? If the soil of our hearts is good, we will produce so much fruit from our lives that people will say that had to be God. I know that started happening in my life when I really got to the place, because I went through all those phases of soils, and I've returned back to some others in the past and had to get back again. But you know it's real when people don't even, are you the same person? I don't even know you. It's like, what's happened to you? That is a person who the soul of their heart has turned good. And in just as back way of culture, I want to give you a little background to this culture because, and you know, not many of us are farmers. So when you hear this 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, you need to understand how amazing that is. Because in the Jewish culture, even a 15-fold harvest or fruit would have been considered a really good crop, because a normal would be 5 to 10. You would expect 5 to 10-fold of what you plant. And Jesus comes along and he's saying, not only will it be doubled, 30-fold or tripled, 60-fold, then he goes 100-fold. And that's just, that's like saying that should blow your mind, that's who you could be as a man or woman of God. That kind of heart is a blessing to every person around them, not just for themselves and all the people they bump into. Their life produces fruit and blessing to the world around them. So, first, it's Jesus' promise. But in this parable, also, there is our participation. And in Mark 4:20, you know, I want you to notice that it said it's the one who hears the word and accepts it and bear fruit. And And so Jesus is calling for our participation, and I like Luke 18. It even draws it out more. And if you and I think we might have Luke 18 up here also. Yeah, 8:15. Jesus says, "As for," and it's the same parable. The three Gospels all have the same parable, which means it's a key parable, because if you don't enter into that kind of relationship with God, and then there is nothing else that's going to make sense to you anyway when God speaks into your life. And Jesus says in 15, he says, "As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart, and bear fruit with patience." So you see this sense of their, it's a person not just understanding it, but they're receiving it and they're holding on to it. They're not going to let it go. And their heart is honest, you know, which means when you come here or you read in your private time with God, you come to this saying, I want to be honest. And God, when I read this, you're going to say things that are going to challenge me. And I may not know if I can be ready for this, but honestly, I want you to take this and let it come inside me and let me be transformed. And I can't do it. I need your help. But here's my heart. I want you to notice the last word there, and bear fruit with patience, in Luke 18:15. Or that word could be perseverance. So it's important to see that this divinely blessed crop Jesus is talking about does not come just because our hearts are good. That's passive. This is a relationship. God requires our active participation. We must work the words he speaks to us individually and as a church into our souls so that we are transformed and we're not the same, right? Is that what you're wanting? Yeah? How many of you want that kind of life? But it's challenging. It means changing priorities. It means removing the things, the rocks, the people that might be hindering you from giving all your heart to him. It might be just looking at simple things as schedules of life, and is there space in your life for God to work and move? This year, we've seen some beautiful fruit in our church. You know, you've seen the pictures of new believers up front who got baptized. We saw the fruit of teachers being blessed by the women's team and marriages being strengthened in Namibia and in here in Sun Prairie. We've seen the community garden, the fruit that was grown and fed some single women and single moms and who also received some prayers. We've seen the retreats, the men's retreats and the women's retreats, strengthen and bless those in the church and outside of the church. This is just some of the fruit we're seeing growing spiritually and physically in this church. Good soil, that's what it produces. But from this parable, I'm going to give us two challenges. The first challenge is to fast and pray in the next 10 days for the soil of your own heart. New Crossing takes this time to celebrate what God's done, but it also takes a season of time starting tomorrow, Monday, going through next a week from Wednesday, 10 days to pray and fast. And there's a letter available if you're wanting to understand that. There's different ways we can fast, and I won't go into the details of that right now, but it's just simply could be picking one meal you're going to fast from would be one way you could fast. Another way would be a Daniel fast where you're not going to eat rich food and desserts, and rich meats. You're going to keep it a simple vegetable and fruit and dairy and just simple meals, saying I'm not going to gorge on the richness of my snacks and steaks and things like that. And then there's a liquid fast where you fast from all foods and you drink water and juice. And you're encouraged to fast in that time because this is a time that you take that not to diet, but to take that time to pray more with God. And so fast and pray about your own soil. Ask yourself, what is the condition of my heart? Is there root in myself? Is Christ in this? Am I going deeper with him? how deep does this relationship go? And the thing about the fasting part, so you pray those things saying, God, I want to have good soil in my heart. But the fasting part, you ask God in that time to reveal what the soil is and say, honestly, I want to know what condition the soil of my heart is. Because, you know, if you don't manage the soil of your heart, it turns to dirt and it becomes lifeless. So good soil requires soil management, and fasting and prayer helps you do that. And what you'll discover in the fasting time are the things God's trying to reveal. You know, it was these things that maybe you haven't given yourself time to really think about. In that fasting and prayer, God starts to reveal the condition of your heart, and he will help you enrich it towards him. That's what fasting and prayer does. So the first challenge is to take these next 10 days and check the condition of your heart. Will you do that? Then the second challenge is to fast and pray in the next 10 days for the soil of your church. Because we are, a church is an organism. It's a family. It's not an institution. And we are going to, this coming Wednesday and the following, the 5th and 12th, we're going to have sharing services. And the sharing service is where we are going to share in worship. We're going to have worship. We're going to share in prayer. You know, I want, ministry leaders, I want you to come to these with how we can pray for your ministries. Because this is one of those opportunities where we do more than just pray for each other individually, like we have every Sunday prayer time and in life groups and things like that. But this is our opportunity to pray for the whole church. And we want to pray for the children's ministry. We want to pray for the youth ministry. They stood up. You had two teens share up and say, would you pray? Well, I would ask you, would you come to a sharing service and pray for the youth of our church? They want more. They were being careful, but their hearts were breaking for some teens that have the soil of their heart. There was weeds, and there's weeds competing in some of these teens' hearts for other things other than God, and they're wanting their friends to join them in the worship of God. But also, in the sharing service, we want to hear whatever God puts on your heart, and we're going to have an open mic time. At the services where we want to hear what God seems to put on your heart for your church. And so that's why they're called sharing in the worship, sharing in prayer, and sharing of hearts. And so please come out. We don't often have corporate prayer times with this kind of focus, so this will be the two Wednesdays at 6:30 to 8. So it's a short service, just time to worship. So your church's soil is, I really believe New Crossing has good soil because as a people, I think we do have an honest hearts and want to work this into our lives. And I've shared some of the fruit that comes from this. Yet, I think I'm hearing this from others, and the elders sense it too. We are sensing there is so much more fruit that will be coming to New Crossing and as we hear and accept and persevere with what God speaks to us. And so I'm just hearing people say there's this anticipation, this excitement that we've been doing the gardening work. We've been getting the seed in there, and now it's like a sense of there's something more that's coming. There's more fruit to come to this church, but it's important that we do it with Christ and in prayer, which leads me to our patience in Mark 4, the second parable. So first we have Jesus' promise, and we have our own hearts that we bring into this, but then also patience is needed. And in Mark 4, 26 through 29 is the second parable. And Jesus said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows, and he knows not how. The earth produces by itself first the blade, and then the ear, and then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. I want you to notice in that is not just our participation, but there's times that we need to be patient. And it would be easy and a mistake to keep planting more and more things, starting more and more ministries, which sometimes tempting for a church to do. You know, it's hard for even us as a church to be patient, let alone as individuals. And we want to come up with new visions and new plans every year just to generate this sense of excitement. But anyone that has grown a garden, flowers, vegetables, whatever, knows there's a season in which you need to let what's been planted mature. And we need to be patient and water what he's given us and work the soil. And I want you to notice in this parable the words, that we actually are the sower. In the first parable, Jesus is the sower, but we become the sower, the gardener, the farmer in this parable. And look at what happens at the end of that parable. It says, and then the full grain in the ear. But how did you get there? In other words, there's the fullness, the full grain. But the first thing you need to notice, it was a journey of growth, not a moment. It wasn't plant the seed and also crazy fruit and supernatural harvest. But we see the blade coming out of the ground. And then second, just the bud, the ear or the bud coming out of the plant. And then there's the full grain or fruit. But wait, that's not even done yet. And then it says, but when the grain is ripe, at once he puts the sickle because the harvest has come. In other words, it's not just the journey, but we are patient and we're waiting for the full grain or the fruit to ripe. We want the full grain. We want it ripe. And I have a picture just as I'm talking about that. This church is, as a metaphor, you know, we're this plant and we're made up of different people, men and women, and you have different spiritual gifts. And if we are patient and we invest in each other, and this is the things God's called us to be doing, what happens is, and it's kind of hard to tell, but see on the left, you have the bright yellow, you know, fruit, lemons, and in the center, there's some oranges. On the right, who knows what the green ones are. But what happens is Christ is the one we are grafted into. Every one of you has something unique God's made you to be. And you each have your own fruit. And actually Jesus said, you know, that we are grafted in the vine, if we abide in him, we will fruit. And when we come together as a church, we become this strange plant that one trunk, but all these different fruits coming out of it. And I want to invite Becky to kind of come up and now, because I want her to share with us a little bit about, it's not just a journey, and it's not just we want the full grain, but also, man, it's dry. We need some moisture. Here, come on up here. But also we want to have the fullness of the purpose. What is the purpose of all these growing metaphors? Have you ever stopped to think about that for a moment? Is it just to have all this harvest, all this fruit? Think about it. The purpose of the harvest is to feed people. The church is a farming family. And when we are patient and we don't rush into new things, but we take the vision God's put on our hearts last year and let it ripen and fruit, we can expect. And what are some of those things? Those are the talents and the spiritual gifts God's given you and me. And if we develop those and give them time to grow, there will be such an amazing abundance, not just for Namibia and not just for a apartment complex of needy moms, but for people in this church and outside of this church. And I just wanted to ask Becky to share some of how the community ministry is going to help us be patient and keep working the soil and keep getting the fertilizer in the soil and how to water it within this church so we can have the fullness and the ripeness of all that God has for us. So I hope that's okay. I kind of called you up in the middle of this, but why don't you just kind of share, you know, what's, excuse me, on the heart of your team.
Okay. I'm going to look at my notes.
Yeah.
So the community ministry team has been praying about the direction of the ministry and just to see what God has in store for us. And the team all sense that we're supposed to have a time of community within the church. You know, it's our intent that we get so good at this that is going to spill out into the community outside of the church. But we took this to the elders, and we submitted what we were sensing to them. And since then, we continued to pray about it. We met again, and we just feel like we need to make ourselves available to one another. We want everyone to be sensitive of the needs of the people here within the church. If you hear of a prayer request and it's something that the church can help out with, please ask them if they can share that with the community team. If you personally have a prayer request, please come forth. We want everyone to feel comfortable sharing that with us. And even if you have a neighbor or a friend or someone that needs help, you know, we, like Craig said, you know, we all have spiritual gifts and talents that just come naturally to us, and we would love to use those to help others. With that said, we do have a skills and gifts database, which when you became members, you actually filled out a form that shared what skills and gifts you have. I personally didn't remember what I wrote down, so I'm sure there's other people in the same boat. So we'd like to get that database just updated. We have, in your bulletin, you have a yellow sheet where you can mark down what areas you have natural gifts and talents for, spiritual gifts. And if you could fill that out and return that to the church office, we would love for you to do that. So then if a need does arise, we can contact you and see if you can help out in that particular situation.
And I should speak into that and say our church offers more than once a year a membership class. And some of you have been through that, or maybe some of you have never been through the membership class. And the purpose of that is for you. What the class does is not only introduce you to the church and its heartbeat and its values, but we take you through a way, you know, just, and these things aren't foolproof, but some things to help you try and figure out who God's made you to be, the spiritual gifts he's given you, what talents you have, so that they can be shared. And an elder will meet with you, you know, afterward, just to kind of hear your story and help you in that journey. And so as these come up, we want to help you figure out what that is, because there is nothing more fun as a Christian than not just knowing who you are as a son and daughter, but walking in the work God's given you to do. And I say walking because you're not alone in the walk. You have the Father with you, you have Christ with you, you have the Holy Spirit empowering you to do that. And so please don't miss out on that opportunity if you're going, well, I don't know what they are. I mean, you can certainly get this, and there's going to be copies made available. But you can say, well, I know I'm good at mowing the lawn. I can help somebody if they're in a crisis. They you know, need to be sick and bed, and I'll help do that. But there's other gifts you might have you don't are yet to be discovered. And so as a church, we want to help you be able to do that.
The other thing that the team decided to do was we're going to have potlucks on the fifth Sunday of the month. Whenever there's a fifth Sunday, we'll be having a potluck after
I heard
the,
clapping
the
in
service.
The
yeah. So our first one is actually going to be on Sunday, March 30th already. We're going to have a sign up in the back where you can sign up to bring a casserole, a side dish, or a salad. Yeah. So, yeah, we're just really looking forward to seeing what God has in store for us. Have and we are going to collaborate with the nursery that first Sunday. It's also, Tracy will be announcing later, but we're going to have a shower for the nursery where we're going to be able to buy new toys for the kids in the nursery department. So we're just looking forward to see what God has for us in this season. We want to build relationships here within the church and, you know, bring those outside the church as well. And, you know, those fifth Sundays, we'd really like for people to invite others to church. Use that as a Sunday where you can invite friends and neighbors and invite them to a service and being able to stay for lunch afterward.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Becky. I want to invite the worship team now to come back up, and I'm going to just finish with the last parable as they're coming up. And Mark 4, just a few verses, 30 through 32, Jesus then, and it's all about the kingdom. And he said, with what can we compare the kingdom of God? or what parable shall we use for it? It is like a grain of a mustard seed, which when sown on the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the largest than all the garden plants and puts out large branches so that the birds of the air can make nest in its shade. The kingdom of God is being compared to the grain of a mustard seed sown in the ground. And again, Jesus is promising amazing growth. Every one of these, there's something extraordinary happening. And it is prayer that helps us water the seeds. Prayer is an act of faith that God is real, His word is trustworthy, and His kingdom has power to transform and bless. And the reason I'm saying in this last one, it's not just Jesus' promise, you know, and our participation and our patience, but it's also our prayers, because that's what makes the soil rich. And we saw recently, as we've been learning about healing, as James has been calling us to be people that pray for the healing of others. In Matthew 17, 20, Jesus takes this mustard seed idea and he says, because of your little faith, because he had some disciples that tried to do God's work without God. And they were asking, why couldn't we heal this father's son? And he says, because of your little faith, for truly I say to you, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. You see, it wasn't the quantity of their faith, but the quality, meaning it was a faith anchored in the one that they prayed to. And so Jesus, it's just making this clear to the disciples, and he says it elsewhere explicitly. These things can only happen by prayer. And so, one of the things in this coming season we're going to be doing is Julie Osborne in the back heads up a prayer ministry, and we've been talking, and as elders in a church realize, you know what? If it's good soil that really produces great fruit, let's make sure the soil's good. And so not just you as in your own personal relationship with God, but we as a church want to pray into the life of this church and people. And so already we have a prayer ministry that intercedes, which means they stand with God on one side and you on the other, and they pray for you. They bring you together in prayer and ask God to do His work in you. But you know, there's more to just prayer than intercession. There's also prophecy. And you go, whoa, what's that mean? Well, all that means, listen to 1 Corinthians 14:3. Paul says, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their building them up, in other words, their encouragement and their consolation, in other words, comfort. It strengthens a heavy heart. Let me ask you, are there times in your life where you could use some building up, kind of calling to the fullness of who God made you to be? Are there times you need encouragement? Are there times you need consolation and comfort? Yeah? Me too. So, we have a group of people for 2 years has just been learning what it means to prophesy into people's lives. Prophecy just means speaking God's words into somebody. And so in this next season as a church, we're going to introduce into our prayer ministry and as God has things He wants to share with our church, we want to hear His heart. There's things He wants to speak about that we may not know. And so we're going to be bringing that into the prayer ministry too. And also healing. I mean, the response that happened in this last few weeks as we've learned how God still has healing. And He uses ordinary people like you and me to help pray healing into the lives of others. Physically, spiritually, healing of hearts. How many of you need, sometimes feel like you need healing in your life? Yeah? Me too. And so what was cool is after that, one of the prayer team members said, hey, would you come and teach our prayer team how to pray healing into people's lives? And so Julie's, and I feel like, you know, that's part of what our church can offer in this next season is deepening the prayer, because as the prayer deepens, so does the soil get richer, right? So I just wanted to share some of these things with you. And in this picture, this last parable, we see the blessing of the kingdom as a way of provision and protection. Where do we see that? It ends with, so that there was a purpose for all this. The birds of the air can make nest in its shade. And so we want to pray as a church and ask God how we might offer his kingdom as a blessing to others, both within this church and outside of this church, as a way of provision, protection. It's life. And life is better in the kingdom. So let's pray, and then we will close with this song. Our Father in heaven, we ask that you help us as a church, Jesus, experience the promises of the kingdom, the fullness, the richness, the abundance of it. And we pray, Lord, that if we have not been participants in it and we've been passive thinking, just do it to me, God, that we realize, no, you're saying, I've got the seeds, I've sown them in your heart. Now let's work together to make something fruitful in your life. And we pray that for our church, Lord. And we pray we're patient, God. We want the fullness of the harvest and we want it to be ripe, Lord. Nobody wants to eat a green fruit that's far from ripe. We want the sweetness of who you are in your kingdom. And Lord, the kingdom of God is a relationship. It's not a place. And that's your parable to us, Jesus, is the kingdom of God is you living in us, the truth of your word and the power of your spirit. And Lord, we pray too that you help us to pray. And I love the Lord that we're going to be learning about this. It's like, help us pray to pray. And that's what we're asking, Lord. We want all of what you have for this church in Jesus' name. Amen.